So it is great to be with you this morning. A special warm welcome if you're visiting or if you're joining us on holiday. It's wonderful that we can still join even if we're far away. But today is, as we've already said, tinged a little bit with sadness, as today is the last in our Summer in the Psalms series. Thank you. That's better. There we go. Because it is essentially the end of the summer. Yeah, come on. But it does seem fitting today as we consider the end of things that we do look at the final psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. It's short, it's sweet, it's got one simple message that you probably don't even need me to tell you what it is. It's praise the Lord. So we're going to do that just for a moment in prayer just before we dive in. So let's pray. Father, we just want to praise you this morning. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the beauty and intricacy of it. We thank you for the fact that by your Spirit you still speak to us thousands of years after these words were written and are still appropriate for all we're going through today. We thank you and praise you. We ask that today you would open our ears to hear what you're saying, not what I'm saying, but what you're saying, Lord. Anything from me, would you let it fall by the wayside, but everything of you, Lord, would you stick in our hearts? We praise you this morning. Amen. So before we jump into this final psalm, I want to share something with you. Something that's going to undoubtedly cement me in your mind as a complete nerd. And I look at some of you, you're like, oh, you're already there. I want to share something with you, something that's just getting me so excited at the moment. I'm getting really excited about the structure of Scripture. And I know that sounds really, really weird. And some of you have inwardly groaned the moment you heard the word structure and gone, oh no, it's one of those kind of sermons. But don't panic. Come back if you're already starting to switch off. I'm not going to go into it massively, but it's just so amazing. I've been doing the Bible Project app, which is going through the first five books of the Bible in a year, but really going into depth. And those books are so intricately designed. They're so beautifully structured that the structure itself actually gives deeper meaning and insight into what's going on. It's just so amazing. And the book of Psalms is no different. I always thought they were just a bunch of poems just kind of collected together that we might enjoy and understand and get insight from. But actually, there's a larger structure going on. The Psalms has five books within it, five collections of Psalms, five books that actually mirror the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, in their theme and their content. And I could spend ages talking about how exciting that is, but I won't, because some of you are already glazing over. But the whole collection of the five books of Psalms ends, unsurprisingly, with the fifth book. And the end of that fifth book ends with five Psalms. Five Psalms that all share one interesting trait. They all begin and end with the word hallelujah. In placing these five Psalms at the end here, what we're meant to see is that all that has gone before ends in hallelujah. All the events of the Torah, all the history of Israel ends with hallelujah. That all the psalms that have gone before, with all their lamenting and rejoicing, with all their rawness and pain and celebration, all the things we know and love about the psalms, it all ends with hallelujah. In the very structure, we're invited to see that every story, every experience, even time itself, all ends in the same way. Hallelujah. And what a word this is. We say it all the time. Well, we say it all the time, not in usual language. We sing it all the time. But I never really stop to think about what it means. It's a Hebrew word that's just kind of made it into our language. And it's made up of two parts. Hallelujah, which is praise. But it's the plural of praise. So it's not just praise. It's you praise. Like you all praise. Hallelujah. And then Yah, which is the short name for Yahweh. It's the name of God. So essentially, hallelujah means you praise Yah. You praise God, or praise ye Yah. Or as is no doubt translated in our Bibles, praise the Lord. So the end of Psalms as a whole book ends with this call to praise the Lord. And it's so beautifully appropriate. But what I love is that at the beginning of this final psalm, we're already given something to praise God for. Even in the word hallelujah, there is something to praise God for because it contains the Yah. It contains the name of God, Yahweh, the name that he gave to his people. We might gloss over, but how incredible is this? The God who created all of this, who knows all about subatomic particles and yet also knows all about the ridiculously massive stars. This God gave us his name. He gave us his name. This name should remind us that we have an amazing personal God. Not some overlord who subjugates us, but a personal God who knows us intimately, who knows the hairs on our head, the decreasing number of hairs on our head, who knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. The name reminds us of the God who loves to covenant with people, who loves to make agreements with humanity just to be close to us. The God who made a new covenant of the forgiveness of sins and sealed it with his own blood. It's the name that reminds us we are chosen, we are loved, we are kept, we are cared for, we are desired, and we're forgiven. Hallelujah. But this word, as much as it is a beautiful reminder, it is a call to worship. It's you praise Yah. And immediately it tells us who we should be praising. Yahweh, God. He is the right focus for our worship and our praise. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? You're sitting there going, yeah, okay, I know that. But how often do we forget? And if I asked you this morning, why are you here? What would your answer be? You know, would it be, I'm here to praise the Lord? Because that's why we should be here. That's the reason for us being here. But to be fair, it really is easy to forget. We went to a new summer camp this year called Satellites. And it was really, really good, despite the crazy heat we had to deal with. And our young people really enjoyed it. And I do want to take this moment to just say thank you to all those that made it possible, but especially to those who prayed for us, especially through that crazy heat. It was amazing. And we saw God do some stuff, and I'm excited to see what he's going to continue to do through our young people in this coming year. But I mention it because, as usual, there are these moments, there are these moments at Satellites where there was an amazing moment of sung worship. You know, you gather 2,500 people together and you sing God's praise. It's just incredible. It's incredibly special. It just feels beautiful to be part of something so amazing. But I must confess, at moments every year, and this year was no different, I stood there in praise. And after a while, the thought kind of crept into my head, I'm not getting a whole lot from worship today. You know, the worship leader's doing this and she's singing that weird, and this young person in front of me really smells. I'm not getting a lot from it today. And thankfully, I've been going long enough and enough to recognize the problem with this thought. It's not about me. Worship is never about me. The focus is and always should be and always will be, I pray, God. I mean, the name of the festival itself was Satellites because the whole idea was we orbit God, not the other way around. He is the center. He is the focus. He's the one that it's all about. He is the one deserving of praise. But it's not about me. We are here for him. But to be fair, it is easy to forget because God is so gracious. When we come to praise him, so often in worship, we find we are blessed. And that's not the reason we do it. We don't come to worship him because he's going to bless us. We come to worship him because he deserves it, because it's right to worship him. But because he's so amazing, the byproduct of that worship is we get blessed. But the focus of our praise and worship should and must always be Yah, him. Hallelujah. So the climax to these entire five books of Psalms is this, these six verses that are super clear in their brevity and focus. It's as if the psalmist is saying, you know what, everything's been said. We've had 149 Psalms now. Everything has been said. All that's left now is just to praise. And so this psalm gives us a summary of some of the essentials of praise. When we look, I think we can answer a lot of questions we might have about praise. And it starts with where. Where do we praise? Verse 1, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. As you no doubt already know, the Psalms are poetry. And again, as you already know, they don't rhyme. Which I know poems don't have to rhyme, but I feel like they should, don't you? Is that just me? No, okay, fine. It is just me. It feels like poems should rhyme. Anyway, the Psalms don't rhyme. Maybe if we understood Hebrew, they'd rhyme a little bit more. I don't know. But they definitely don't rhyme translated. However, what we see is this beautiful way the psalmist writes, is he writes with thought rhymes. Now, there's definitely more technical terms for that, but I like the idea of thought rhymes because it makes sense to me. It's where one thought echoes another, where one line reinforces another, but in such a way that the content of both become enriched and expanded. And verse one here is an absolutely brilliant example. Where are we to praise God? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in the place that he's chosen to dwell on earth. For the Israelites, that's the tabernacle or the temple, the place where God has chosen to dwell among them. And they're told, praise him where he resides among you. That makes sense. But here's the thought rhyme. Here's the next one. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So yes, praise him in the place that he dwells among you, obviously. But don't think for a second that's the only place he can be. The whole of the skies, space, the universe, all of creation is his and is also where he dwells. Isn't that amazing? The way the one thought then just expands the other. Some commentators suggest that this his mighty heavens doesn't actually refer to the skies, to space, to the universe, to the creation, but actually it's referring to the spiritual realm, referring to the place where God resides and the angels and all that sort of thing. And if that's the case, then again, this becomes something different. The first call, the first thought is everyone on earth, all of God's followers on earth, come and worship him in the place that he's chosen to be with you on earth. But the second thought is all of heaven, come and worship as well. Join together in the one thing that you can agree to do, which is praise God. Whichever you decide is right, and let's be honest, it's poetry, it could be both. But whichever you decide, I think what's clear, I don't think it makes much difference, because what's clear is this. God's glory fills heaven, earth, and all of creation. And therefore, his praise should do the same. And that's where we come in. His glory fills all of heaven, earth, and all creation. So part of our task is to fill it with his praise. It is why we're here this morning, and it's even a big part of why we exist. So how do we ensure our lives are full of praise, that everywhere we go is full of praise, that our homes, our workplaces are full of praise? If you're looking for answers from me this morning, tough. I can't give them to you. What it looks like for me to fill my life and my places with praise is going to look so different to what it looks like to you. But nevertheless, that challenge is there for us this morning. How do I make sure my work, my school, my college, my town, my country is full of God's praise? I'll let you take that away. But perhaps the next bit of the psalm may help just a little bit. Because we move from the where do we praise to why do we praise? Praise God everywhere. Fill the universe with his praise. We've got that, but why praise him? Verse 2, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him for his mighty acts or his acts of power, depending on your translation. Whatever it's translated, it's clear that the psalmist is trying to tap into the collective memory of Israel and remind them of all that God has done. You know, so much of the Torah, so much of these first five books of the Bible, it's just God trying to remind them time and again of all that he has done for them, rescuing them from Egypt, the plagues, the Red Sea, the wilderness, the promised land, all the stories that they celebrate and retell. Praise God for his mighty acts of power. The culmination, the pinnacle of which is, of course, for us, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Why praise God? Praise him for his mighty acts, for the fact he destroyed sin and defeated death. Hallelujah! Amen. Praise him for what he's done in Scripture, but also what he's done in our lives. Here's where it's so vital that we recognize the power of testimony. If you weren't here last week, please do go back and watch Jen's sermon from last week. She talks about the power of testimony, and she explored it in much greater depth than I will here. But the power, there is power in testimony. Not only is it an encouragement to others, but it's an incredible reminder for us to praise, to recognize what he's done, but also what he's still doing among us, and praise him for it. So why praise? Praise him for his acts of power in the past and in the present. What do you want to praise him for this morning? I actually want us to answer that. I want us to have a few moments to think about that, not to shout out, don't worry, but to stop and reflect, what do I want to praise him for this morning? What have I seen him do in my life this week or today or in scripture that I want to praise him for? I'm going to ask us to take like 5 seconds, which is not going to be nearly enough time for you and feel like an eternity for me, to just think, what do I want to praise God for this morning? Father, we want to thank you for all the things that we have named in our hearts this morning. We praise you for them, and we praise you for your goodness and your all-surpassing greatness. Amen. There may have been some of us, however, this morning who sat there for those 5 seconds, and it did feel like an eternity. And it did feel like I can't find anything to praise him for this morning. And if that's you, that's okay. That's okay. It's not always easy. And sometimes our lives just aren't in a place where praise is easy at all. But maybe the next part of the psalm will help as we consider the how we praise, but more importantly, for those folk, when we praise. So how do we praise? Praising with the sounding of the trumpet, praising with the harp and the lyre, praising with the timbrel and dancing, praising with strings and the pipe, praising with a clash and cymbals, praising with resounding cymbals. In short, praise him with everything. Just to nerd out again for a moment, you know, the number 7 in the Bible is really important. It's the number of days in which God created and then rested, and it symbolizes completeness. And there are 7 instruments listed in this psalm: the trumpet, the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, the strings, the flute, and the cymbals. This isn't meant to be an exhaustive list of instruments. It's meant to represent every instrument. It's representative of everything. So what is your instrument? You know, what are you gifted to praise God with? And if you don't play an instrument, don't panic. I don't play anything either. I've tried multiple times. No good. And if you're looking going, well, it does say you can dance. I can't do that either. Which if you're watching down there, you saw. And my wife and my daughters and my young people will all testify to the fact I can't dance. But it's not about the instruments. It's about what can I praise him with. Everything that can be used to praise him should be used to praise him. So the question is, what have I been given to praise him with? What have you been given to praise him with? Undoubtedly, you have something unique that you have been gifted with to praise him with. There's a line in the song, Blessed Be Your Name, that stirs my heart every single time we sing it. And it's something that every time I sing it, I kind of recommit to, that I want desperately to be true in my life. And it just says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And that's the goal. That's the heart of it. That's what I really want to be true in my life. That everything, every blessing, every gift that I've been given, that I find some way to turn it back to praise the God who gave it to me. So what have you been given? What blessing has God poured out that you might be able to turn back to praise him this morning? How do we praise him? With everything we can. So finally, when? When do we praise him? Up until now, perhaps those answers, those questions have been really easy to answer from the text. But the when is largely hidden from us because we don't know the cultural relevance of some of these instruments. You know, the trumpet that's mentioned will most likely have been referring to something called a shofar, which is a goat's horn trumpet that the Israelites would have used in Israelite festivals and sacred occasions. So in commanding praise from the trumpet, what the psalmist is doing is saying, praise God at the holy festivals. Praise him at those sacred occasions. Praise him at the big national holidays. That's when to praise him. But then he says, he commands praise on the tambourine and dancing. The tambourine was most often used at moments of celebration or great victory. Its percussive nature used in parades and other joyous moments. In short, the tambourine and dancing are saying praise at your moments of joy and celebration, be it at family celebrations or at some moment of personal or corporate victory. Praise him when you experience joy, when you experience celebration. Then the command comes, praise him on the strings and the flute. These are everyday simple instruments that many would have had in their homes, would have used in an evening or in idle moments. It's a call to praise him every day in the simple things, whether those songs are ones of great joy or ones of lament. So the call comes to praise him every day. And then you've got the cymbals, which I have absolutely no idea about, frankly. All I can think is that anyone can play a cymbal. I can just go over there and whack it with no musical skill and it will make a resounding noise. So when should we praise him? In the holy festivals, in the holidays, in the joyous moments and the celebrations, and every day, no matter what is going on, whether it is a joyful tune to a day gone well or a lamentful, mournful tune of grief, we praise him in it all. The good and the bad, the joy and the pain, the light and the darkness, the call is the same. Praise him. But that isn't always easy, is it? There are times we don't feel like praising, and for good reason. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, let us offer a sacrifice of praise. And at times it can really feel like that, can't it? God, I don't feel like praising. I don't want to praise you today. And in those moments, to praise is a real sacrifice, but it's still the right thing to do. You know, we see it in the early church. We see Paul and Silas whipped and tortured and put into a prison. And what do they do in the middle of the night? They praise. And from that praise comes blessing because that's what's so amazing. It can be so hard to praise when things are going wrong. It seems so hard to praise when things around us seem out of place. But it's still right to give that praise. It's still appropriate to give him praise. And the beautiful thing is we see in scripture and we see in our lives that even though we are focused on him in our praise, once again, he blesses us. Because that praise can give us hope. I've been thinking a lot about hope recently. Not just because we named our daughter Hope, but because it just keeps coming up for me in various places. I read a thing the other day about the survival rule of three. I mean, I read a lot of weird stuff, all right? So don't ask why I was reading it. But basically, it said you can survive 3 minutes without air. You can survive 3 hours without shelter, I'm assuming in some sort of wilderness, not just randomly. You can survive 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, and only 3 months without hope. And that really struck me. It really stayed with me. Because when we look around, and many of the things Toby prayed about this morning, the wars around the world, the mounting energy crisis. I mean, be honest, just pick any one of the myriad of terrible things going on at the moment. It seems like hope is something that is desperately lacking right now. And people may not even realize they need it, may not even realize they've gone months without it. They may not even recognize if it's in front of them. I mean, can you recognize it? Could you describe it to me? Someone did describe it to me recently, and honestly, I've been pondering it ever since. Serenity, our daughter, she's been excited recently by the existence of homonyms. If you don't know what a homonym is, don't worry, you're not alone. Basically, they're words that sound the same but mean different things. So she first discovered this when she came to me in the bathroom and said, Daddy, there are two kinds of sink. And I was like, okay, Rennie. She's like, yeah, sink like when you go down and sink like you wash your hands in. I was like, Rennie, that's really clever. I think, quick Google, that's a homonym. And since then, she's been so excited to try and find more of them. I checked if she was happy with me sharing this story this morning. She was, and she's very excited for some of you to talk to her about homonyms afterwards. So she might not be when you come over to her, but she was very excited when I told her what I was going to tell you. But anyway, the other day she comes to me and says, "Daddy, I've got another homonym." I was like, "Okay, Rennie, what is it?" And she said, "Daddy, there are two kinds of hope." She's got Hope My Sister. Now, at this point, I was tempted to point out that's a proper noun, so it doesn't count. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because she said, Daddy, there are two kinds of hope. Hope My Sister and Hip Hip Hooray Hope. Hip Hip Hooray Hope. I've never explained hope to her, but somehow she's picked up that hope is that feeling that just makes you want to cheer, that makes you want to celebrate, that makes you want to jump for joy, leap in the air. And this is the kind of hope that we have. This is ours as God's people. And this is the hope that the world needs. The hope that comes from knowing a personal God that moves in our lives. The hope of a God who loves indiscriminately. The hope of a God who is going to be with us for eternity. The hope of a God who moved in the affairs of nations, and I believe will do so again. This is the hope that we have. But have we forgotten it? Because if we have, as a Pharaoh may have done, there's a way to remind ourselves. We praise. We praise him. And as we do, we remember all that he's done. We remember who he is. We remember that hip, hip, hooray hope that we have that is untouched by the world around us, untouched by circumstances. The hope that is dependent on no one else but our awesome, steadfast God. So if this morning you are finding it difficult to praise, can I encourage you, can I implore you to try and raise a hallelujah anyway? Because as we do, we may just be reminded of the hope that we have that has nothing to do with this world, but is entirely in him. And as we do that, we join with the psalmist in praise and in remembering the hope that he ends with. The hope that there will be a moment where everything that has breath will praise the Lord. That's where all this is heading. It's where the Torah was heading. It's where the Psalms have been heading. It's where all of time is heading. Revelation 5:13. "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." And so this psalm ends. The book of Psalms ends. The whole of time ends with this moment of unbroken praise. The declaration of praise to the one who is worthy, the one who loves us and desires us, the one who gives us hope and a future. It all ends with one word. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We praise you for your mighty acts and your steadfast love. We praise you for all you've done in Scripture, for all you've done in our lives. We thank you that no matter what is going on around us, we have the hope of knowing you, the hope of knowing how all of this ends with you, and a call to praise you forever. Help us, we pray, to fill our lives, to fill everywhere we go with your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.